Today, Carmageddon comes south. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian and New Zealand flavour. Today I'm joined again by product expert Joe Wilkes. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Martin.
How are you going?
Very good, very good. Survived the ski slopes of New Zealand last week. Or should I say everybody survived me being on the ski slopes of New Zealand last week.
I reckon you were on the baby slopes, weren't you?
I was, yeah. Unfortunately, the rest of the mountain was closed. There's some very good skiers who, unfortunately, are having to put up with me on the slopes as well. But anyway, I don't think I caused any major injuries.
That's good. Good to hear, yeah. Oh, dear. Yes, people are going to get quite a lot of information about what you're up to, Joe, one with another. It sounds interesting.
I haven't had anyone pull me over in the street and tell me to stop yet, so I'm going to carry on, though.
Very good. Okay, so we're going to talk about car sales, right? And the fact that that is a leading indicator of economic weakness.
Yeah, I thought we'd do something different today. We've talked a lot about houses over the last few weeks and the building dynamic and various other bits and pieces. And car sales are a big one. They form a big part of the economy. They are another area that the government love, particularly the new car sales, because they create credit in the market. The salesman takes their fee, the person owns the car yard takes their fee, and that money then gets spent around the rest of the economy. And I thought we'd go global and local and talk about what's happening in the car market here in New Zealand. Maybe you can provide some data from Australia, but we are in a fairly interesting time for new car sales in New Zealand. And these I suppose best described have started to decline from the peak, and it is a historic peak going all the way back to the 1970s, that was hit in October last year, where there are 11,767 new vehicles sold. Now, since that month, there's only been one month in New Zealand where new car sales have been greater year-on-year comparison to where they were last year, and the drop-off's quite significant. So I thought I'd just sort of run through some numbers and some interesting stats that people can take a view on, because this does impact credit growth, it does impact the economy. So from the peak in October last year, November 2018, car sales 9,543, down from 10,289. December 18, car sales 7,680, down from 8,150, so a reasonable drop off. You're generally looking at between 7 and 10% drop offs each month. January 19, 9,942 compared to 10,797. February 19, 7,580 compared to February 2018, 7,415. That's the only month year on year that there's been a rise, but it's a minuscule rise. March sales 8,425 compared to 9,050. April sales 6,778 compared to 6,848. May 7,624 compared to 9,276. And June, big drop off to 8,748 from 9,725. So we've got quite a sharp drop off in new car sales. It's not really being reported in the mainstream press. The one financial website that I use in New Zealand is interest.co.nz, and they've had little snippets about it, but tiny little references maybe on the end of a day over the last few months, that have not actually reported a story on these numbers since January. But the car sales guys must be starting to feel it. Now, new car sales in New Zealand are quite often heavily dominated by the sales that you get of fleet vehicles for the tourist industry. And it's going to be really interesting to see how that pans out over the next year or so, because these fleet sales, often manufacturers and talking about some of the firms that sell into New Zealand, they sell these vehicles at basically cost. They don't tend to try and make a profit on the new vehicles. The whole thing being, I think, and this is a psychological thing that advertisers use and people who are, you know, selling anything use, is that you when you come on holiday to New Zealand, you drive around in a nice flash Toyota or whatever it might be. You have that wonderful experience for 3 weeks going around beautiful, glorious open countryside and seeing the sights and getting the experience of a relaxing holiday break in New Zealand. And I think that the hope is that over the course of a season, if a car gets rented out and it's fairly new and it's got nice shiny bits and pieces and all the things work, that these people associate that experience with the car and then go home to their European market, American market, Japanese market, whatever it might be, and buy one because of the feeling that they got when they're actually on holiday and everything was rosy anyway. So it's going to be really interesting to see, because we are starting to see little noises about drop-offs in Chinese tourists coming to New Zealand over the course of the first half of this year. It's going to be quite telling to see how this impacts on I guess the new car sales when the big fleet sales come in, which I would guess would typically be those October numbers leading into a holiday season. So big thing to watch. We've had a historic peak back in October last year. It's massive numbers of new vehicle sales all lined up, I think, for the tourist industry. Be going to be very, very interesting to see if those sales numbers are replicated again later this year. Another thing I thought I'd just touch on, and this is because it's disappeared and I can't find the data for it, is the bankruptcy numbers that are reported. So in New Zealand every month the bankruptcy numbers are reported, and these numbers haven't been reported on now since April, so I've got May and June I can't find the data for, and I'm presuming that we're seeing an uptick. Now, the positive news from a bankruptcy's perspective is that bankruptcies hit a 13-year low in January, 143 cases over the course of the month. The previous low, and this is something that I found quite interesting, was actually December 2008, when there were 141 bankruptcies. So GFC, banking crisis, 2 or 3 months later, we get a historic low of bankruptcies being recorded, and then they started to rise. Now, what I do know is that they rose to 202 in February, 206 in March, there were 224 in April, and then I don't know what the numbers are. So as this is recorded, then we'll start to get some transparency on this data, because it's going to be quite an interesting thing for us to report on and for people to get a feeling about what's going on in the market. Now, Carmageddon, which is only slowly hitting the market down here, this impacts New Zealand and it impacts Australia, because it has been quite dramatic in some other markets. In America, new car sales are back to where they were in 2014. They're dropping off a cliff, and I've got a chart which I'll send to you, Martin, to show. Truck sales have actually been going up over the last few years, but new car sales are dropping off quite significantly. At the same time, you're getting an increase in the price of used cars. So used cars have been going up. And I've got a chap called Nigel who's started monitoring over here in New Zealand the level of level of cars being registered on Trade Me, which is our big eBay / Auto Trader website. And he started tracking cars for sale on Trade Me on the 1st of April, when there were 80,201 cars on the market. 18th of July, that number had risen to 87,638. So you're getting an almost 10% increase in the stock available over a three-month period at a time when the sales are falling. So the Trade Me numbers will include new cars as well as the used cars. But it's quite interesting when you think about their the post that we did on Is It Time to Park the Boat? This is quite an interesting sign of a bit of economic stress. Now, returning to international Carmageddon, the numbers elsewhere are quite telling, and particularly when you think that China is our major trading partner. New vehicle sales dropped 9.4% in June to 2.06 million. So they're not selling a few cars, they're selling quite a lot, but that's quite a big year-on-year change. It's actually the 12th month in a row of new car sales decline in China. The first half of 2019, sales are down 12% year on year. So we haven't seen quite the same drop off, but it's really interesting to see our major trading partner, another economy with heavy private debt levels, is also starting to see this change in demand for new vehicles. The Indian car sale market, which is the fifth largest auto market in the world, their sales fell 24% in June compared to last year, after a 26% fall in May year on year. This has come from the Society of Indian Automobile Manufacturers. Scooter sales dropped 15% year on year, motorbikes dropped 10%, and mopeds dropped 22%. They've still got quite a big influence of two-wheeled to two-wheeled vehicles. In all, two-wheeled motorized vehicles in India fell 12% year on year. Passenger vehicle sales are 18% down to 712,620. Car sales down 23%. So the Indian experience with the cars is largely being funded by the shadow banking industry. A lot of the car financing is from the shadow banking industry, where reports suggest around 40% of the car finance is from that sector. So a little possibility that there could be stress in that market. Overall, though, if you look around the world, Carmageddon has started, and it seems over the last few months that it has moved south.
Well, it's interesting, and of course in Australia we are following a somewhat similar path, insofar that we've actually been tracking that for some little while. And there are a couple of interesting dynamics here. The first is that people are still going for SUVs rather than small cars, which is interesting. The other sector that's falling are the tradies, you know, the people who basically buy the utes. And that, I think, is reflecting weakness in the SME sector specifically. Certainly for our SME surveys, we see quite a few now who are reporting lack of volume in business on their own right because of the fact that people can't afford necessarily to do the things they perhaps used to do. And so traders seem to be under pressure, and therefore they're not buying so many. The other factor that's quite interesting in this is that if you look at sources of finance, a lot of people still lease cars here in Australia. And so, you know, the lease volumes are down a little. But quite a few people have started going to the alternative lenders for car finance. And quite a few of the alternative lenders who used to be operating in the payday lending sector have gone up into the car sector because it's quite a large market. So what we're seeing is essentially quite a lot of finance now chasing the smaller number of buyers that are actually out there. And I can give you some anecdotal evidence too, because a couple of months ago I got a new car. My wife being
a spendthrift, you.
Yeah, I know. My wife being a little ill, or now very ill, and we needed to get a better car to ferry her around. So I was looking, this is back in May. And I went around and looked at a number of different models and garages. And we settled on a particular model, which I won't disclose. But what was interesting was I went to four different garages with the same model of car that I knew what it was that I wanted, right? I actually had identified the specific car because they all share the same information system. And they all basically spotted the same car, which was sitting on a dock somewhere out south of Wollongong, right? So I was able to play these guys off, the four garages off, one against the other, right? And I got a massive discount. I couldn't believe just how big a discount I got off the already discounted price that they started with, right? There was an air of absolute desperation amongst all of these particular, salespeople to get the car sold. And I noticed that back in May, the end of financial year sales actually started at the beginning of May. So if you want sort of, stresses and strains made manifest, just look at the way that that's worked. I got a very, very good deal. And I also had a chance to chat with them in terms of what they were seeing. And they said, look, we're just seeing very, very low levels of inquiries. A lot of people come in and kick the tires, but don't take the transaction any further. And compared with a year ago, a couple of them said they were 30% down in terms of inquiries. I think we can conclude that the car sector is an interesting forward leading indicator of what's going on more broadly. And people just don't have the money. And, you know, the other thing, of course, that some would do previously would be to nick money from the house to. That's happening less now because property prices have fallen. So, you know, it's another factor in the equation. And I agree with you. I think it probably does indicate more difficulty ahead.
Yeah, well, it's quite interesting to talk about your car story, because I went out, I was in the market for a car last year, and I went to a number of dealerships and took a fancy to two or three cars, and I like to negotiate, and this is something that you used to be able to do with dealerships, but in essence, for a new car or something that was 18 months old, there was a very, very limited play on what they would negotiate, and I was looking at it from the perspective of, I'll pay cash for the car. The reality was that they weren't, the old idea of a cash discount disappears, because they actually make more money off the finance than off the deal. And I should have remembered it, because this is what happened in the UK. I bought a new car in the UK in 2012, where I couldn't get a discount off the new price. It was, about £16,000. But what I was able to do is to take on finance for 5 years, which had no clawback if I paid it back after three. So what I ended up doing was buying a car on finance, which gave me, I think, 5 years free servicing, which was fine. And then after 3 months, I was able to pay the whole principal back. So I wasn't I wasn't paying massive ridiculous interest over a 5 year period. But over here at the moment, there is no desire to sell anything on finance. So I ended up going and buying a second hand car from somebody who, I met. We negotiated a price that I was happy with, and he was happy with. So it's quite interesting that the car dealers are relying so heavily on the sale of the finance to prop up the margins on the vehicle. I wonder, and this is just going back to the very high car sales that we saw at the tail end of last year, August, September, and that October historic high. You think about that big rush that we saw last year with the foreign buyers desperately trying to get into the Auckland market. 20% of sales in some parts of central Auckland were being sold to foreigners. How many of those people were cashing up, downsizing, and buying a nice flash car with the extras? We'll see. We're going to find out. October for me is going to be the big month this year, where we find out what's the demand for new vehicle sales for the hire car companies, start of the summer holiday period, and what's going to be the demand without the foreign buyer cash injection that was facilitating things last year. So, yeah, interesting times, but Carmageddon seems to have moved south as well.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I think the next 4 to 6 months will be very interesting to see whether you get any bounce or whether it continues south. Literally.
Well, I was in Whanganui over the weekend, and I'm going to do a separate post on Whanganui, because there's some quite interesting things that I discovered up there. Whanganui is already being affected by the fall off in log prices, so demand for logs has weakened around the world. I think particularly China, who are our biggest export market for logs, and it was really interesting talking to people who are living there about the fact that people in the logging industry and transportation of logs are already being laid off. So that has hit the Whanganui market, where, historically it was a port town, but where there was a lot of logging and that type of thing over the last few years. But what's also been really interesting was I stepped into a finance house. So they've got, easy loan shops on the high street in Whanganui, and there's quite a lot of empty commercial property on the high street there. The one pub apparently just closed the doors one afternoon, left the table set and walked off because they couldn't keep the business going. But the easy finance lady, I asked her, are you getting an increase in people coming in for day-to-day finance or to tide them over? And she said, yes, it's up probably between 20 and 30% year on year. And I said to her, are you getting many people coming in to get finance for day-to-day living costs? And she said, yes, we are. We get people. And if they are requesting it for things like food, things like school uniforms, we're having to direct them to places like the Salvation Army. She was very, very open. I thought it was quite interesting. I said, well, where do you see household budgets at the moment? She goes, some people are fine, but there are an increasing number of people who are on the margin. And Whanganui, I think, when I get digging into the actual property data, because they've seen house price rises there over the last few years have been quite dramatic. I think it's going to be quite interesting to see what's been causing that, and I'm going to have a look at the dynamic of how long people have been owning their houses and relative to them being back on the market. So we'll do that, and we'll come back to that later on in the week. But things are on the turn.
Thank you, Joe. Interesting. I'll look forward to that next post, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good, Martin.
See you later.
Take care.